Middle East feel abandoned. The president joining arms with Iran.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Saudi Arabia is now giving Iranian officials 48 hours to get out of the country. Saudi Arabia says that it is determined not to let Iran undermine its security. This, of course, after protests turned violent in Tehran with rioters storming the Saudi embassy there.
We are determined not to allow Iran to undermine our security. We are determined not to let Iran mobilize or create or establish terrorist cells in our country or in the countries of our allies.
It is also a mistake because the blood will undoubtedly bring retribution. Saudi politicians, rulers, and policymakers should have no doubt that there will be divine vengeance for this blood. God Almighty will not pardon those who spill the blood of the innocent.
Saudi Arabia is a Sunni country. They executed Shiite and Sunnis. They were doing that for two reasons. They wanted to show their internal opponents, the people who might be ISIS followers or Al-Qaeda followers, we're coming after you. The Saudis also wanted to show Iran, Shiite country, don't mess with us. Here's what we do to Shiites. The problem that Saudi Arabia faces, I think, going forward is it is in a very vulnerable position. Geographically, it's between ISIS and Iran. Politically, it's between the Shiites and the Sunnis. And if you're Iran and you want to control the region, or if you're ISIS and you want to control the region, you got to control those holes.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Let me tell everybody what's happened. So the President of the United States is under a lot of pressure. He's got a press conference going on right now on executive action on gun control. Right now, we're monitoring it. We don't see any major developments there. We do see another major development. So is the Wall Street Journal, and that is Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates on Monday followed their Sunni Muslim ally, Saudi Arabia, who happens to be an ally of the United States as well, and severing its ties with Iran. This came despite a lecture from the State Department. And this is what the Wall Street Journal says. Well, what did the administration and its media allies expect? And I'm reading a quote here. The U.S. didn't listen to Saudi Arabia about Iran, the nuclear deal, which it believes signaled a U.S. strategic tilt towards Iran and its Shiite allies in the Middle East. They see the administration backing down on sanctions against Iran for testing ballistic missiles that can reach Riyadh long before they get to New York. They feel under threat from Iran liberated from sanctions, and they don't believe President Obama will defend them in a conflict. Why should they heed the U.S. now? A Middle East dividing into Sunni-Shiite blocs is the predictable consequences of Mr. Obama's strategy of retreat from the region. As elsewhere, U.S. allies in the Middle East, and this would include Israel, folks, will do what they feel they must to survive, never mind American disapproval. This is a huge indictment coming from the Wall Street Journal and others. And this is something we've been talking about for weeks on this broadcast. And that is the president's move to Iran and his signaling a relationship with Iran. And by the way, Saeed Abedini, Jason Rezaian, the other Americans, still not out. All that taking place. And what do we expect? That the Saudis are going to sit there and wait for an attack from the Iranians who are now in partnership with the Russians? This is a complete lack on the U.S.'s part of engagement. Logan, let's get people involved in the conversation.
All right, you can join us many different ways here on Jay Sekulow Live. You can give us a call if you have a question or comment to be on the air, 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Or join us on Facebook and Periscope right now. So Facebook.com/Jay Sekulow or Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. You'll see the latest post. There'll be a live video. Click on it. Engage in the conversation. Thousands of people are doing so right now, watching the feed right here next to me, monitoring, getting your questions or comments from there. Or also on ACLJ.org. You can watch us there in a live, more television-like quality studio set up there.
We're now saying we have it.
I guess I've been told we couldn't, so.
All right, there you go. Folks, we'll take more of your comments and calls when we come back. We're going to get analysis from Jordan. We'll be joined by Professor Harry Hutchison later in the broadcast. If you want to talk to us on air, as Logan said, 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. Big indictment. Really is a big indictment from the Wall Street Journal and others saying that the United States taking sides with Iran has created the most destabilized Middle East we've seen. Do you know how many people have signed our resolution on genocide? I said I wanted to get to 25,000. 50,000. Go to ACLJ.org right now and add your name to this list that will now hit 100,000. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back with more, including your calls, in a moment.
Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, and torture Christians. The brutal toll of nearly 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. ISIS is engaged in the blatant genocide of Christians in the Middle East. Yet, President Obama refuses to recognize the genocide against Christians. He's pressuring the State Department to deny endangered Christians critical legal protections from ISIS's slaughter. The ACLJ is fighting back, aggressively advocating for vital international legal protections for Christians. We've mobilized our offices on Capitol Hill and across the globe, filing crucial legal documents to protect persecuted Christians from ISIS genocide. Stand up for Christians right now. Sign on to our new petition to recognize the genocide and protect Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Great song there by our band, Hold Your Head Up, the famous Arjun song. Taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. So the Wall Street Journal comes out and says, hey, we've got a problem here. The United States allies don't think we're allies anymore. Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, UAE, they're now trying to work together because why trust the Iranians? And they certainly don't trust the Iranians, but why trust the United States? President takes no action on any actions that the Iranians do. We take no action on. The four Americans are still held captive. And this is interesting, the visa waiver issue, Jordan, is another thing. The Iranians are mad that we're clamping down on visa waivers from Iranians.
Yeah, that's right. And what this is really about is that you don't get a visa waiver. There's no visa expedited entry into the U.S. no longer available to travelers who have visited, quote, Iraq, Syria, or countries that repeatedly provided support for acts of international terrorism. That seems basic to our visa program. That doesn't even ban people from coming in from those countries. It just means they have to go through a normal visa process, which exists for many countries around the world. As a U.S. citizen, you have to complete those. And this is about if you've traveled to these places, been in these places. Iran has been very upset about this. And Secretary of State John Kerry replied to the Iranian foreign minister and said that, don't worry, because the Obama administration, quote, has the authority to waive the visa changes passed by Congress. So the measure won't prevent the U.S. from fulfilling its nuclear deal commitments or foreign investors heading to Iran. So the administration, another example of this administration bending over backwards to try and keep this nuclear deal alive. And I really think that when you see what the Iranian moves have been, the provocative move by Iran, I think they're doing everything possible to disrupt this deal.
No, they're chanting today, they're going to punch the Americans in the mouth. That's what from the Supreme Ayatollah. And then you got Josh Earnest making this ridiculous. This is how, talk about losing your influence in the region. Listen to the White House press spokesperson on this very topic.
We do continue to be concerned about the need for both the Iranians and the Saudis to de-escalate the situation in the Middle East. That we're urging all sides to show some restraint and to not further inflame tensions that are on quite vivid display in the region.
So that's what I call a lackluster response to an increasingly dangerous situation. In the meantime, Christians are subject to unbelievable genocide. And who's not listing that genocide? The State Department that's busy giving waivers to Iranians won't list Christians as subject to genocide. Add your name to this petition, by the way, which is now at 52,000 and growing. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255, demanding that Christians be added to the genocide list. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Logan, let's take some comments or some calls. And by the way, if you want to talk to us on air, it's easy to do. 1-800-684-3110.
Some people are just asking for more clarification. What happened between Saudi Arabia and Iran? How does this play into what we're doing here? That was from Ryan on Facebook.
And that's a good question. So there is a conflict between the Saudis, who are Sunni, and the Iranians, who are Shiites. There was a series of executions that took place in Saudi Arabia this past week involving a Shia cleric who led a revolt to try to overturn the government. Again, as Jordan said, we're not saying that the Saudis or any of these groups are perfect, but they did this execution of this cleric that they thought was trying to overthrow their government. And there were some concern, legitimate concerns about this. The response from the Iranians was dramatic, and that is the troops, as the Iranians tend to do, went right into the embassies and started that whole process of destroying the embassies, harming personnel. At the end of the day, of about a 24-hour cycle, they cut off diplomatic relations. But Jordan, it really goes much deeper here, and this is the president's lack of engagement in the region has produced the environment for this to happen.
Yeah, that's right. And so ultimately, this goes down to policy strategy that's been implemented, both diplomatic, the fight against ISIS, right. the lack of decision-making, and the unclear foreign policy of the United States. You're toppling dictators in Libya, holding back in Syria. Just not a clear path to ultimate an end. And so you could see these conflicts raging on. And so those who are closest in the region, yep, like a Saudi Arabia or a Bahrain or the UAE and these Gulf states who are concerned about ISIS, but they're also concerned about Iran's growing role in the region, they're starting to take action that is contradictory to U.S. policy. And they're doing so in very public ways, whether it's the executions or the cutting all diplomatic ties with Iran. And these are major moves from world players that have a lot to say, not necessarily because of the size of their countries, but the influence and, of course, the economic importance of a country like Saudi Arabia.
All right, let me play here a soundbite from – actually, let's go ahead and take a call. Then I'm going to play this soundbite from Josh Earnest again, putting him – and also, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Yep, we have a few lines open. If you want to get your questions or comments in, it's a good time to do it. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Ken is calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan, on line one. Ken, welcome to JSIQ Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Ken.
Hello. How are you guys?
Good, sir.
Well, for one, I'd like to thank you guys for what you do.
Thanks.
Mean, you bring a lot of education to those of us that are less informed. My question, though, is do we see and or, I mean, I understand what this administration is seemingly doing and how that seems to affect some of our allies there. But my thought and question is, do we actually see a correlation between what we did in Iraq and the removal of Saddam Hussein and destabilizing the correlation they had at that time between the Shiites and the Sunnis?
Yeah, no, it's completely different because the world is completely different. It's a good question, Ken. You got to look at the situation. The president was so bent on a legacy deal with Iran that he was going to do this no matter what happened. And let me read you something here. So President, this is coming from, again, it's a Wall Street Journal piece. President Obama has staked much of his foreign policy legacy on the Iran nuclear deal, but does that deal effectively give the Iranians veto power over legislation by the U.S. Congress? That's the question at the center stage today, as Tehran is outraged that the United States Congress would demand the visa waiver program changed so that these designated countries that are sponsors of terror don't get an automatic visa waiver. And they're demanding this of the United States. Who's demanding this? The Iranians. And that, my friends, is absolutely and positively absurd. And you can't run a government and you can't deal with a region in that way. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110, and we'll take your comments as well. A lot of comments coming in.
Yeah, there's a comment in from Dell and from Robert who kind of have the same comment. They said, what can the Congress or the Senate do? You know, why would they remain silent on this?
Well, they're not remaining silent on it. Now, we're going to be joined in the last half hour of the broadcast with Dan Bennett. We're going to talk about that. But Congress is not going to take this lying down. But here's the question I'm asking everybody, and I want your comments on. And it's very simple. I believe that the president of the United States is siding with the Iranians intentionally. And at the same time, Americans are being held captive. Ask yourself, and I want to hear from you in this, why is he doing this? When our allies in the region, like Saudi Arabia, who are our military allies, Israel, Bahrain, the UAE, these more moderate countries, and not that the Saudis are moderate, they're not, but they are allies of the United States. Why is he so bent on siding with the Iranians? We'll take your calls and comments on that at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Because, Jordan, that at the end of the day becomes a very big issue. What is the motivation of the president to do this?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and so we ultimately, I think, have got to get down to the basic point here, which is that there is this deal on the table that he believes is part of his legacy. That's this nuclear deal. And how much instability, how much volatility, how many problems in that region of the world, and to the point where it's not just regional anymore because you got the Russians involved. So it's no longer just a regional conflict with the U.S. playing a role with our NATO allies. You now have the Russians involved in Syria, in Iraq. You've got Iran flexing their muscles with their foreign fighters and their troops in Syria and training in Iraq as well. He has allowed, because of the nuclear deal, we are at this point. But how long will that go? How much are we going to take one from the Iranians?
Yep.
How much are we going to let our allies fall by the wayside? And then they can get out of control. I mean, this is not a perfect region of the world.
No.
You start letting these countries behave this way, and things can get very bad, very quick. And they're already
there. I mean,
it's Syria.
Yeah.
But Saudi Arabia could get out of control. Bahrain, these places, they were on the brink of real problems just a few years ago. Those news stories got subsumed by bigger stories, but they were all facing real backlash inside their countries. If you allow them to kind of go off the cliff, if you will, in this kind of behavior,
you can't.
It's a real problem.
Yep.
All right, we do have a comment coming in as we wrap up this segment. We've got 50 seconds left. So Sandra just said on Facebook, is he trying to cause a war? Is this something where you feel like there's going to be a big outbreak?
Well, I think there is. I mean, I think the potential for real armed conflict is great. Probably the greatest it's been in a long time. Does he want to cause it? No, he wants it. This Iranian deal was his legacy move, and I think it's going to be, the ramifications of it are going to be disastrous. Folks, we've got 52,000 signatures on this petition to have Christians labeled as part of the genocide going on by ISIS. We want to get that now to 100,000. We think we can do it. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Coming up, Professor Harry Hutchison got a new piece out on ACLJ.org on this genocide issue, pointing out the administration's double standard. Back with more in a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, and torture Christians. The brutal toll of nearly 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. ISIS is engaged in the blatant genocide of Christians in the Middle East. Yet, President Obama refuses to recognize the genocide against Christians. He's pressuring the State Department to deny endangered Christians critical legal protections from ISIS's slaughter. The ACLJ is fighting back, aggressively advocating for vital international legal protections for Christians. We've mobilized our offices on Capitol Hill and across the globe, filing crucial legal documents to protect persecuted Christians from ISIS genocide. Stand up for Christians right now. Sign on to our new petition to recognize the genocide and protect Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online. aclj.org.
Everybody, we're taking your calls and comments. We're joined right now by a good friend of ours, Professor Harry Hutchison, who was on the broadcast right before the end of the year. He's got a piece up at aclj.org. It's also going out on all of our Facebook and social media feeds. It's called Genocide, A Problem from Hell. It's not pejorative, by the way. We think it is a demonic problem when you're dealing with genocide, obviously. But this was the title of a book by our current UN ambassador, Samantha Powers. And Professor Hutchison, she argues for something that we would probably agree with, although we're expecting that the administration is not going to take that same position. But tell us the genesis of what you've written here.
Well, thanks, Jay. I would make several points. First, there is undeniable evidence showing that the vicious ideology that supports and sustains Christian genocide and other crimes against humanity is spreading throughout the Middle East and parts of Asia and North and Central Africa. Despite the growing calls to acknowledge this genocide against Christians, the United States State Department has spent several months debating whether to designate the Islamic State's attacks as genocide against only one religious minority, the Yazidis. This raises the question, what about the largest non-Muslim minority in the Middle East, which is comprised of Christians? But rather than condemn the genocide of Christians, the president has condemned proposals by commentators who have argued that the United States should concentrate on helping Christians who are being slaughtered because he asserts that we do not have a religious test for our compassion. In reality, of course, the president ignores the real problem. The Islamic State and other jihadists have already imposed a religious test.
Right.
The aim of this jihadist test is simply the eradication of Christians and Christianity from much of the world.
So this is, begs the question
the US
here.
Government to acknowledge that problem.
Yeah, so this begs the question, and this is the thing that people are saying they don't understand. That is, you've got a situation. You got Samantha Powers writes the book, America in the Age of Genocide. That was her PhD dissertation. She's the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. The administration's going to list the, you know, some groups, maybe the Yazidis and some others. They're not going to list Christians as it stands right now. Christians are being persecuted in unbelievable numbers, most significant minority religion in the region as far as persecution goes. And this administration won't list it. And this begs the question that we've been asking, and we're putting a lot of pressure on. It's not just us, by the way, not just the ACLJ. A lot of people, a lot of groups are speaking out on this. And again, Professor Hutchison, if you go to aclj.org, Harry Hutchison's piece that's up right now is called Genocide, A Problem from Hell. And that's the title of her book. So Harry, it begs this question. I want to get your comment on. I'm going to get Jordan's on it too. And that is why? Why would this administration not list genocide of Christians as part of that genocide going on in the Middle East? It makes no, when you look at it evidentiary and you look at it in a political framework, I'm trying to figure out what is motivating them to go down this road.
Well, I think there are several answers to your great question. I think first, as I've said previously, elites have a huge distaste for Christianity's influence and dominance within the history of the West. Christian influence, according to many elites, is seen as a barrier to human progress grounded in evolutionary inevitability. Perhaps the best evidence of hostility is the president's willingness to compare the conduct of some Christians during the Crusades
right.
to the actions of the Islamic State just after ISIS burned alive a Jordanian pilot and some months after Iraqi Christians, including Christians,
yep.
were cut in half by ISIS.
Let me play that soundbite for everybody that Professor Hutchison just referenced from President Obama in the National Prayer Breakfast this past year.
Lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place. Remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ. So this is not unique to one group or one religion. There is a tendency in us, a sinful tendency, that can pervert and distort our faith.
So here's the reality of what the President of the United States just laid out there. It is exactly what Harry Hutchison said, and this is the elite mentality of saying basically, look what Christians did, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, and gee, isn't it horrible? And so don't get that upset when the ISIS cuts or burns alive a Jordanian pilot or beheads Coptic Christians on the beach. But the fact is, not only is that bad history, but it's bad politics, Jordan. It's bad global politics, and that's something that we've got to reiterate here.
Yeah, that's right. And so, first of all, when you have to go back thousands of years to try and justify a current problem, that's never a good situation. But second, I think when it comes down to this labeling of genocide of Christians, just think about that for a moment. If we acknowledge a genocide specifically of Christians ongoing in the world, you can't continue with this same strategy. You've got to do more to defeat ISIS. You'd have to commit more resources. So this administration admitting that there is a genocide would cause a strategic change because it would be that much more outrageous.
Right.
There's a lot of people who don't follow news as closely.
Yep.
If they see in the news then one day, Obama administration says ISIS is involved in a genocide of Christians, we in the Western world all relate to that.
You know, Harry, you said that in the piece that is up on ACLJ.org right now, you said indifference is aptly illustrated by the recent statement of the United States State Department, which lists bringing peace and security to Syria as one of the major achievements in 2015. But none of that is reflects the reality.
I think that's exactly correct. And I think that statement by the United States State Department suggests that the United States government is willing to substitute self-congratulations for affirmative action that would bring the Islamic State's reign of terror to a halt. I also think that if the administration would recognize Christian genocide, that would amount to an indictment of the administration's policy, and it would also amount to an indictment or confirmation that they have consistently underestimated ISIS.
I think that's absolutely correct. Professor Hutchison is a founding fellow of our Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy. He is a professor of law at George Mason University and is a writer on our ACLJ spots and, of course, affiliated, as I said, with our Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy. The piece is called Genocide, A Problem from Hell. Read it. We're distributing it on all of our platforms today. You need to read it. You need to be educated. You need to be informed. Thank you, Harry, for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jay.
All right, folks, we're going to come back with more of your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, multiple ways to watch now.
That's right. If you want to continue on the broadcast, if you don't have SiriusXM or just want to have a different experience, there's multiple ways you can do that now. Log on over to ACLJ.org. You'll get a television-style broadcast, multi-camera. That's what we do. We take these and then make them into our TV shows. And you can watch that live if you go to ACLJ.org. It's the first thing you see, a big live video. All you got to do is turn the audio on. It's good to go right there, just like a YouTube video. Or join us on Facebook and Periscope if you want to engage in the conversation. Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Latest post is a live video or Periscope. We're live there. Jay Sekulow.
All right, folks. And remember, we're at 52,000 signatures marching towards 100,000. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign that petition, adding Christians to that genocide list. Do it today. Talk to you in a moment.
The ACLJ is fighting back, aggressively advocating for vital international legal protections for Christians. We've mobilized our offices on Capitol Hill and across the globe, filing crucial legal documents to protect persecuted Christians from ISIS genocide. Sign on to our new petition to recognize the genocide and protect Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We are talking about the continued plight of the Christians in ISIS-controlled territory, the failure of the administration to list those Christians as part of genocide, and the ongoing conflict now between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Saudi Arabia, of course, Sunni. Iran, of course, Shiite. This is presenting a major conflict and a big conflict and one that's got real ramifications. The Wall Street Journal editorials today, we've been saying this as well, are very clear that the policies of the United States have presented this crisis, have allowed Russia into the region, have created a destabilized situation. All that's happening simultaneously. Logan, you got a comment, and I want to bring Than into the conversation.
Sure, yeah, we had a comment that came in, I believe, via Facebook. I have it pulling it up right here. Okay. Yeah, we have a comment that just came in. It said, it's from Annie, who said, please explain why your petitions have any effect on anything.
All right.
So a lot of people know we do these petitions often. They want to know, what are the results?
So, Than, you were in meetings yesterday. So describe to everybody what happens and what those petitions do.
Well, this current petition, Jay, is actually a perfect example of the impact that a petition can make, because today and yesterday, members of Congress were returning to town, and the House Foreign Affairs Committee is sitting down and determining their priorities as they open the new Congress. What this petition enables us to do is to go to them with, now at this point, more than 52,000 of our members and say, we want one of your immediate priorities out of the gate to be passing HCON Res 75, which is the resolution calling on the president to make this designation of genocide and to include Christians in it. And I just give you a glimpse behind the scenes here. The Foreign Affairs Committee has a pile of priorities to get to. They have a pile of things that they want to get to earlier in this year. So the more people that we can show them care about this issue, the higher up that priority list this resolution bumps. So I'm going to get off the phone, off air today this afternoon and re-engage with the Foreign Affairs Committee, give them the new number of people on our petition, and it will increase the likelihood that it's one of the first things they consider off the gate. So it varies how we use these petitions, Jay, but on this one, that engagement with the Foreign Affairs Committee, it makes a huge difference, and that's how we'll be using this one.
52,683 have signed on to that petition already, Than, so we're off to a big start. We were at less than 25,000 when you were in those meetings, so that should be a good explanation, Logan, of the work. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Sure, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Joe, who's calling from Lakeland, Florida, on line three. Joe, welcome to JSEC-io Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, thank you very much. Sure. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Listen, we keep referring to this legacy of the president as the Iran deal. I don't see it as a deal. I see it as a negotiated surrender. We didn't get anything out of it. They haven't signed off on it. They're not abiding by it. It's all one-sided.
Yep.
How is it a deal?
He calls it the media is calling it the Iran deal. Here's the reality. There's nothing to sign. There's not a signed document. This wasn't a situation like you had a treaty. Nothing. And the Iranians, do we have that comment with the Iranians saying, you know, we're going to punch the Americans in the mouth from Ayatollah Khomeini?
We don't have that. We just have
text. Yeah, so, I mean, let's put the text up there so I can read it to everybody. But it shows you how absurd this is. I mean, the Iranians are flaunting it. And there's no deal. I mean, Jordan, this whole idea that we've accomplished something with Iran is absurd.
No legal obligation. So under international law, under the standards, no one signed on to this. It's an agreement and basically not even a full-on handshake agreement. And so there's nothing legally binding about this agreement. It's just a plan of action by different parties, how they will try to proceed. And that gives, I think, too much flexibility to Iran.
Yep.
And too much flexibility to our own government in deciding what to do about these various issues that pop up, like when it comes to the ballistic missile testing by Iran.
Let me read you what the supreme leader of Iran has said. Americans have set their eyes covetously on elections, but the great and vigilant nation of Iran will act contrary to the enemies, will, whether be it the elections or other issues, and as before, will punch them in the mouth. This is the great Islamic leader of Iran. This is who we have a, quote, deal with. It's called absurd. And yet our administration will not have the nerve to put Christians as part of this genocide list. Unacceptable. Have your voice heard. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Again, like us on Facebook. Share us on Facebook. And Logan, I guess I need to download the podcast.
Yeah, that's right. You get the podcast on iTunes. Right now, it's the number three podcast on all the charts. Just go click on JSEC-io Live, subscribe, leave a comment, put in your review. Really helps us out.
Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, and torture Christians. The brutal toll of nearly 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. ISIS is engaged in the blatant genocide of Christians in the Middle East. Yet, President Obama refuses to recognize the genocide against Christians. He's pressuring the State Department to deny endangered Christians critical legal protections from ISIS's slaughter. The ACLJ is fighting back, aggressively advocating for vital international legal protections for Christians. We've mobilized our offices on Capitol Hill and across the globe, filing crucial legal documents to protect persecuted Christians from ISIS genocide. Stand up for Christians right now. Sign on to our new petition to recognize the genocide and protect Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. Taking more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We have a podcast here, Jay Sekulow. We don't talk about it much, but it got some attention this morning, evidently.
That's right.
In a big way. Logan, tell us, everybody, what happened. And, folks, we're going to need your help on something here because we may be on to something.
If I could fully explain it, I would. I got a text this morning from a friend of mine who I haven't spoken to in probably a year. He said, hey, I went to go download a very popular podcast, Serial, or one of these, and said, and I noticed you guys were in the top charts. Congratulations. So we were unaware. All of a sudden, I logged on. And as of right now, Jay Sekulow Live is the number three podcast on iTunes at total, not in a category, nothing. Of all podcasts, Jay Sekulow Live is number three. So we encourage you, if you look, it's odd. We don't know exactly what happened, but we are thankful for all of you for listening. If you look at it right now, you see the reviews. There's some that have tens of thousands of reviews. And
we don't have that many.
Don't have that many. So go in there, review the show, and subscribe, and you get this show every day delivered straight to your phone.
I just want to make sure we don't end up like the Miss Universe pageant. They crown us number three, and then they take the crown.
That being said, this number will fluctuate. It fluctuates every 20 minutes. So you'll see a podcast jump higher, lower. So we don't expect that, you know, it'd be great if we're number three forever, but we don't expect that to be necessarily the case. But for now, you can keep that motivation going.
What do I need to do?
Just go to, if you have an iPhone or an iOS device, you pre-downloaded, you should have had the podcast app. You may have to download the podcast app. Just go to Top Charts. You'll see JSecular Live is number three. Click subscribe, or you can search for it.
And script.
And iTunes.
And do DW today too.
Yeah. And then on that's the podcast that I'm taking over, but let's focus right now on Jay Sekulow Live. And then on Wednesday,
number one.
Yeah. And then on Wednesday, we'll see how it goes. You can download on Wednesdays. We have new episodes of WW Today. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
But with this one, we don't know where it's going to go, but we really could use you to go in there. If you're on your computer, go to the iTunes,
check it out for us and let Logan know.
And, you know, subscribe there.
Let us know on Facebook. Those of you on Facebook and Periscope, let us know if you can go over there and take a look and see if our data is correct. All right, let's go take some more phone calls and more comments. Here we go.
One person said, yep, you're number three to us, but not number one in their hearts. There you go. Thank you.
Oh, who said that?
I don't know. It's already gone, I believe it. Think thought.
Thank you, think thought.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to who's been holding the longest. Joy from Birmingham, Alabama. Joy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air. Thanks,
Joy.
For
we're going to send you a book for holding a long time. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I wanted, first of all, to thank you for everything that all of you, in whatever capacity that your organization works, for all that you do.
Thanks.
And I'm calling to answer your question. When you start siding with your enemies and alienating your allies, I think in the normal mentality, that should tell you something. If you don't go to the place, the right answer there, then that's, you know, your problem. But the problem that I have with this is I need to know as an individual what I can do right now where I am. Who do I need to call?
All right, so let me go to Than and Jordan on this. We'll start with Than. Than was in meetings. Yes, Than's our director of governmental affairs on this program almost every day. He was in meet when he called in yesterday, folks. I mean, you got to understand how the ACLJ works. We're not just talking about this on a radio broadcast. We have a team of people. Than heads up our director. He's our director of governmental affairs that are putting this information, meeting with members of Congressman leadership meeting yesterday. Than, tell everybody what that meeting was, how it works, and what Joy needs to do next.
Well, there's an immediate action point on this one, Jay. I mean, the meeting yesterday was talking about the priorities for the next Congress and specifically the Foreign Affairs agenda, the Foreign Affairs Committee's agenda. And we want HCON Res 75 to be one of the very first agenda items in their new year. And we do that in two ways, and this is where our listeners come in. Number one, we need you to sign our petition because in yesterday's meeting and in ongoing meetings, we will use the numbers on this petition to raise that up their agenda priority. And then the second thing, obviously, is when your members is back in your district, echo that concern, echo the position of this petition to their member when they're home. So you can be your voice when they're back in the district, and we will be your voice when they are here in Washington, D.C. Sign the petition and engage with your member when they're back home.
Jordan, how big of a political issue is this as well? I mean, we've got real lives at stake here, but there's a political consequence to all of this, and there's reality that Christians are being slaughtered in the Middle East in this administration, and that means Secretary of State Clinton's policies. Is she going to draw? She has drawn a distinction. She said Christians should be listed as genocide. Do we have that bite? I'm going to play that in a moment, but Jordan, talk about the politics of this right now, and then I'm going to play the bite.
So the politics of it goes back to, one, I think this administration doesn't want to recognize that there's a genocide of Christians going on under their watch. That would be a true failure by the administration. That doesn't mean that it's not happening, but by acknowledging that there is that genocide of a faith group specific that we, for the most part, a majority of Americans relate to directly because of our Judeo-Christian heritage in this country, that hits home really hard. And so that's part one. Part two of this is that if you acknowledge this, if you recognize this as a genocide, you have to take more preventative steps, and it also controls how it's punished. And so it would ultimately not make sense to recognize these kind of genocides and then say that, well, we're going to keep the same strategy.
Hillary Clinton actually has modified the position from the White House. She's drawn a distinction. We want to be fair on this. We're not taking sides. Here's what she said.
I am sure now we have enough evidence. What is happening is genocide, deliberately aimed at destroying not only the lives, but wiping out the existence of Christians and other religious minorities in the Middle East in territory controlled by ISIS.
So you've got a Democrat taking that position now, too. So, Than, where's the opposition going to be? Then we're going to get back to the calls.
Well, the opposition is going to come from the president himself, and I mean him personally, because this goes back to what Jordan said, and we should say that Secretary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State, sure would have been nice if she would have taken that position then. However, we'll take the convert to the right position now. But the real ramification here, if the president makes this designation, he then has to work harder to uproot ISIS, because one of the obligations that Jordan was talking about, if this community, this Christian community, is a target of genocide, the president would have to work to return them to their homeland. ISIS controls that homeland right now. He doesn't want to uproot them. That's part of why he's dragging his feet.
This is why we're fighting back so aggressively. Again, folks, we're going to be taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Logan, what do you have next?
Let's take a comment. We got one from Al on Facebook who said, how can the president support Iran and turn his eyes away from the slaughter of Christians in the Middle East?
Because he's made a decision. That's a very good question. Is that name Al? Al?
Al, yeah. Al McMillan.
All right, Al. Good question. So the president's made a calculation, and that calculation is that our allies may be angry with us. So they may be angry, they may be aggravated, but at the end of the day, if he can move towards the Iranians, which he has here clearly, somehow he's going to bring stability in the region when we're seeing, and this is why it's so frustrating dealing with this administration. They make these moves, the region becomes more destabilized, and they don't change course. Nothing. You know what you haven't heard in the discussions today? Where's Israel fit into all of this? Well, you think the Israelis trust what's going on with the administration? I can assure you they don't. I can guarantee you that. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Want to take another call?
Sure, let's take another call. We're about to wrap up this segment, so we'll try to make it quick. Let's go to Ralph. He's calling from Harrisburg, PA. You're on the air, line 5.
Hi, Ralph.
Hey, Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Thank you for what you do.
Yep.
I was told to watch my comment, so
okay.
Forgive me, I'm not good with words.
All right, go ahead.
We got the dot button.
We got the dot button ready. Go ahead.
All right. What is the chance, has anyone thought, that the president has some kind of a motive to be on the side of the Islamists and to destroy this country from the inside out?
Well, here's what I think. I think his sympathies lean towards this globalization perspective, and that somehow, because he's got in his heritage, he's got a father that was Muslim and he knows the culture, that somehow this was going to, you know, basically, and go on this apology tour that he went on, it was going to somehow, Ralph, resolve the animus around the world for the United States. That's a false assumption at the start. And Jordan, the reality is it has actually worked the exact opposite, if you look at it.
Yeah, that's right. And look at how volatile this region of the world is now. Without a U.S. presence, it's not to say that things in Iraq were perfect with the heavier presence, but we saw the rise of these groups and the fall of these groups, and we didn't see these power moves by Iran because the U.S. was right in their back door in a significant way. You didn't see the power moves by, you wouldn't see these kind of total disrespect of U.S. wishes by our own allies like Saudi Arabia or Bahrain taking diplomatic moves, executing 47 people in one day, knowing that that will cause an eruption, which it has. And you wouldn't see Russia involved in the region, to be quite honest. So all of that, you could say, yes, there's things that are not always perfect when it comes to foreign policy. But what this administration has done has made America much weaker and has made the Middle East and really the Islamic world, I'd say broader Islamic world, because you include North Africa as well and Eastern Africa, much more volatile.
All right, Than, very quickly here, we're going to a break, then we're going to do a rapid fire round. Than, your sense of the timing on this?
Well, it needs to be in the next couple of weeks. I mean, those decisions on what's going to come out of the chute first, those decisions are going to be made this week, Jay. So the next 48 hours are very critical.
All right, folks, we need everybody that's listening to go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We've gone from 50,000 to 53,000 just in this broadcast today so far. So ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Sign that petition now. I urge you to do it. And again, a huge thank you to our members and donors of the ACLJ. What a difference you made for our 2015, a banner year for the ACLJ. And we're going to continue to increase our footprints on our media and our work globally. You're making a huge difference. So again, a huge thank you. ACLJ.org to sign that petition. Back with your calls in a moment. No, I can't stand this
evil anymore. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, and torture Christians. The brutal toll of nearly 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. ISIS is engaged in the blatant genocide of Christians in the Middle East. Yet, President Obama refuses to recognize the genocide against Christians. He's pressuring the State Department to deny endangered Christians critical legal protections from ISIS's slaughter. The ACLJ is fighting back, aggressively advocating for vital international legal protections for Christians. We've mobilized our offices on Capitol Hill and across the globe, filing crucial legal documents to protect persecuted Christians from ISIS genocide. Stand up for Christians right now. Sign on to our new petition to recognize the genocide and protect Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, everybody, we're doing a rapid fire round here. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Quickly here, again, we had some shocking news this morning in a good way.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah,
go ahead, Logan, explain this.
I got a text this morning from one of my friends, Matt Hammett, who you may know from Sanctus Real. He said, hey, I was downloading the podcast today because I was searching for new podcasts and saw it on the charts. And I go, okay, that's great. You know, usually in government and these kind of categories, we're usually in there. Maybe he was looking for that. And then I kind of just played around a little bit and realized that JSecio Live right now is the number three podcast, period, on iTunes. So in all podcasts, all categories, number three right now is JSecio Live. We are not exactly sure what that means.
Because the other ones have how many reviews?
Thousands.
And how many do we have?
Like 34, because we never really talk about it. There are thousands of people that listen to the podcast every day, and we thank all of you that listen. But we never really talk about it, and now we feel like it's probably time to talk about it because something has happened where iTunes has taken notice. And, you know, that could fluctuate. By the time you're hearing this, you're hearing this later today or tomorrow.
Keep doing it.
Could be number 200.
Yeah.
But we still would love you guys to go and subscribe to the podcast, and maybe we'll get some exclusive content on the podcast later on coming up soon. We're working on many different facets of ways people can get JSecio Live. But go to iTunes on your laptop or desktop. Subscribe there or on your phone if you have an Apple device if you have an Apple device, go to your podcast app, download or subscribe to JSecio Live, which you'll see right now, top charts, number three.
And Jordan said we're number three on his iTunes list, too.
We're number three. That's just, we know
it's
that right
now.
It's
not a cookie in our phones.
We've checked with random people who aren't even on our side, who I don't even know, who say, yes, it's number three. So that's great news. Let's go back, though, as we take a rapid fire round, make sure we get to as many calls as possible. Yep. Thomasia is calling from Durham, North Carolina. Thomasia, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, you're on the air.
All right, let's put Thomasia on hold and see if we can check that line one may still be causing us.
We were having a little problem with line one yesterday.
Let's see who's been holding. Blake is calling from Amarillo, Texas. Amarillo, Texas. Blake, you're on the air.
Hi, Blake.
Yes. Hey, yeah. My question is: first of all, thank you all for what all you do.
Thanks.
I appreciate it.
Yep.
But going back to the Iran issue.
Yep.
Why have we, if we don't really have a deal, why have we lifted the sanctions?
And
if they,
that's a great question. Why? Because the president wanted what he perceived to be a political victory. The sanctions have been lifted. The Iranians were emboldened. That allowed the Russians to come into Iran. This was a horrible situation. There is no signed document in Jordan, and I'm going to go to Jordan then on this. The fallout on this, we haven't seen. If you think it's bad today between Saudi Arabia and Iran and Bahrain and the UAE and Qatar and others coming, just wait. It's going to get much, much worse. Jordan?
Yeah, it's not like these were fringe or even, these are both countries that would consider themselves, for the most part, enemies to most, when you look at most issues. And a lot of that goes to the religious divide, but also a very different foreign policy view of the world and of the region. And so you have Iran supporting destabilizing Shiite efforts, and you've had these other countries supporting destabilizing Sunni efforts. I don't want to give them a full pass here. But what we have seen consistently from this administration is that when things get really tough, and I think we are at a point where we can fairly say that in Syria and Iraq, things are really tough. It is a tough diplomatic situation. It's a tough strategic situation for anyone. It doesn't matter if you're the Obama administration or not. When things get this tough, you need to build support from those who you've worked with in the past. If you don't even want to consider, some people say Saudi Arabia is our ally, friend. Just say it's someone you've worked with closely in the past on military operations and anti-terror operations. You don't isolate them when things get really tough.
But
then you're standing by yourself, and you've got Russia making allies.
Well,
and where Russia has cast their lot with the Shiite world. Cast their lot with Iran and with the Assad regime.
But the Russians did that. The Russians did that because that was their way to get back into the region. So they saw the U.S. backing off on the Iranian sanctions, which was crippling the Iranian regime. And Russia come. The first action we see 2 weeks after the so-called deal is the Russians and Iran in Syria and making alliances there. This unholy alliance, which is a book we're going to deal with in October.
Right, but the president has made a pre-decision to prioritize this deal, or maybe we should call it an agreement, over everything else, and it's clouding his judgment on every other decision in the region, Jay. I mean, you and Jordan were talking a minute ago about the ballistic missile testing that happened in October. Well, Iran just today revealed a video that shows they have a new missile depot that houses that missile. They put the video up on the internet. That should trigger snapback of sanctions, and yet we have heard nothing out of the White House. So when new facts come up, when new evidence materializes, the president just goes back to his pre-decision because he made it without looking at any of the evidence.
Because I don't think he, I mean, I think this is, look, this is not, these aren't evidence-based decisions. These are all politics in his view. All right, we got comments or phone calls. Let's go to him.
Let's go take another call. Let's go to Don, who's calling from Atlanta, Georgia, watching on Facebook. Don, thanks for watching. Welcome to JSIQ Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Jay. Thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for all your work and efforts. My question regards this. President Obama first alienated the Israelis, and now he's alienating our Arab allies in that region. Who's next on his hit list?
You want to know what I really think? Who's next? I think what the president's done is trying to reinvent the Middle East in his own image. So I don't know who's left that he could really offend here. You know, you've got the Israelis and the Saudis are now working closer together, Don, because they're concerned about the same situation. And you have a situation, and I think this is just the reality, that this is the nature of the vacuum that's been created, and nature abhors a vacuum, and this is what happens, and that's what we're dealing with. Let's grab another call.
All right, let's go to Sharon, who's calling on from Bend, Oregon, on Facebook, watching on Facebook. Thanks for calling, Sharon.
Hey, Sharon.
Hi, Jay.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was wondering kind of like that same thing.
Yep.
How will Saudi Arabia stand against Iran and Russia?
Well, adding Russia to
Israel
the
will help
yeah,
them.
Russia changes the calculus. I'm going to go to Jordan and Than to comment on this quickly, but let's do it quickly, guys. We're running really close on time. Russia has changed that calculus because, yes, Israel working with Saudi Arabia and Iran, yeah, you could see it, but Russia in the mix makes it much more difficult. Jordan and Than.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've got Russia allied with Iran, and of course, they're there to keep the Assad regime in power. Their ultimate goal is, yes, they want to get rid of ISIS. They also want to get rid of any opposition whatsoever to the Assad government. And so that is overcomplicated things. But they would not be there if the weakness wasn't there from the United States, if the vacuum wasn't created. And the Obama administration has let this happen since the massive withdrawal from Iraq, which led to helped the ISIS really come on the scene in a way without facing significant opposition. And then you have a country like Russia. I think that points to it even more so.
Yep.
The fact that they are getting involved at this kind of international level decades after the Soviet Union, it just speaks to, again, where the U.S. is. We are back in a situation where countries think they can act this way.
All right, let's take another call here.
Last call. Last call of the day. Gwendolyn Quickly from Wichita, Kansas.
And
Facebook
we're going to send
viewer.
You that book, Gwendolyn, so hang on the line afterwards. Go ahead.
You're on the air.
Thank you for all you do.
Yep.
I was calling to shift gears a little bit and wonder where is Congress in all of this.
All right, Than, where's Congress in this?
I suspect this ballistic missile issue is going to cause them to consider new sanctions. That's going to be one of the questions in front of them. But Congress could consider new sanctions, and I think they're on the table now.
All right, folks, we are. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. Periscope and Facebook, hang here a little moment longer. We're going to talk to you. But for our radio audience, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to that petition, having Christians added as part of this genocide. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Now, Logan, also tell everybody what they can do on this podcast as we continue to promote it.
That's right. We've never promoted our podcast because it's just a radio show for online. We could be doing more soon. All you need to do is go to iTunes, search for Jay Sekulow, and subscribe. Or honestly, search for Jay Sekulow Live just by going to the top charts right now, and you'll see that we're currently, when we're recording this, when we're live, number 3.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.